I've been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
K-Row. I've been there. K-Row.
We are going to fight for Missouri values. We are going to defend life. And we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
All right, we're back again for another hashtag MoLedge podcast. First things first, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Republic Services and the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. Today, Becky could not join us because she's busy. So I have a wonderful co-host in Philip Arnzen, who works in the House Pro Tem Elijah Carr's office. Philip and Ben, who's always here, know a lot more about the budget. And I have Representative John McCarty here today. He has been with the legislature for 7 years now, and he's seen a few budgets. So first things first, what makes this budget stand out?
Well, I think the first thing that makes it stand out is that for the first time ever, I think, we're fully funding the foundation formula. I know there's some dispute about that, whether or not it's fully funded or not, but we look at it and we think, well, it is fully funded because we've went back to the caps and stuff that was there before, and there's no way you can hit a moving target. So we just made the target go steady so that we could actually fund the schools. I think the other significant thing change that I see over the years is we're finally getting rid of all the estimates. We're finally getting rid of all the E's, which I think is critical. You know, I think it's critical that if you have a department or you need money from the state in any capacity, that you have a actual number that we can go back to and say, this is what they've asked for, this is what it's going for, and this is what we can provide. It's tough when you say, you know, I need $500 million, and then you're coming back at the end of the year and say, oops, we missed that. We need $520 million. Because then at the end of the year, we're trying to scramble. So when you have to balance a budget, you got to start with real numbers. And I think that's a significant change. And I think it's a significant change not only for this year, but for years to come. Something that they can get used to working with real numbers, I think, is a huge win.
Well, I think that's been a major point this whole time, is that they made a point out of saying that we want to get rid of the E's in the budget. So everything in there is just constantly trying to figure out, can we actually put a value on it instead of leaving these items open? I don't know how many times we've heard Chairman Fitzpatrick say that in the hearings. Yeah. So they made a very, very big point of trying to make sure that simple letter of E is not appearing almost anywhere.
Yeah. And I serve on the subcommittee for corrections. So we have a big issue with Department of Corrections, with all the lawsuits that we've seen come out in the last few months. I think it surprised everybody that the Budget Committee for Corrections didn't know what was going on. And the reason they didn't know what was going on is because there was a fund there with an E on it. You know, and so they just kind of tapped into this fund and just said, this is our money to spend kind of as we please. And I think by getting rid of the E's and dealing with that kind of thing, then we have some transparency. We have some accountability for the departments. When you're dealing with taxpayer money, I think that's just it's our obligation to do that. Not that those things still ain't going to happen, but you still might have a lawsuit, but at least we know about it and we can correct the problem before it gets out of hand.
Yeah, I think another big part of the budget too is, you know, as you'd mentioned, the fully funding the foundation formula. You know, it's a difficult budget year, and yet the House priority was funding education. Yeah. And, you know, difficult decisions had to be made, but at the end of the day, priorities were shown in this budget on where the House, you know, wanted to go this year and where they plan to go in the future with the budget. Also, getting rid of the E's, yeah, that's huge. I mean, it's basically, when you put an E in there, it's like writing a blank check to a department with no accountability, and that's something that, you know, the House has been working on in the past, and it's good to see this year that there's been such a massive reduction in these.
And, you know, I think the budgetary did a great job. You know, when you start off with a $500 million deficit and you end up the budget year and you have $200 million set back for appropriations that come up at the end of the year, you know, that's a stellar job. That's $700 million difference that you overcome, basically. I think that's pretty significant.
Now, the budget is out of the House's hands, right?
Yes.
And it's on to the Senate.
Right.
And now, Philip, this is your first year working intimately with the state budget, right?
Correct.
What were your initial impressions of the House process? And how do you think the Senate will destroy all the hard work you've done?
I mean, the House project, you know, I'll say is it's very thorough. I mean, for weeks on end, there are members in, you know, the budget committee and the subcommittees for, you know, 6+ hours a day, going through hundreds of pages, you know, talking to the State Departments, talking to the different agencies, making sure that your tax dollars are spent where they need to be, and making sure that they get rid of any unnecessary expenses. And this year they've done a very good job of that. The budget chairman, Scott Fitzpatrick, he, you know, there's some big cuts that have been made, but also he said there's a lot of $500,000 cuts here, $2 million cuts there, which is where a big portion of the cuts came from, is just from a lot of pork that was been in the budget. And, you know, I think the House Budget Committee did a very good job of making sure that we kept vital services and we prioritized certain things, but then also got rid of the unnecessary expenses. In the Senate, as far as, you know, they have different priorities, and, you know, we'll see where they end up. You know, I also know that the House and Senate have tried to, you know, keep in communication during this process to make sure that, you know, there's not massive disagreements. But, you know, they're different bodies, and at the end of the day, they're going to have different budget priorities. And the most difficult task is to see where to meet in the middle. So,
now, Ben and I have heard from a recent press briefing that the Senate does not stand by the House's stance that the foundation formula should be fully funded. Do you think it should be fully funded, Representative?
I do. You know, money's not the answer to all our issues with the education system, obviously. It's not how much money you can throw at it. But I think that we're at the point to where our schools, most of our schools, are operating within the bounds that we've given them to operate. And I think we need to fund that so that they can offer the programs, the classes, the things that they need to do to be able to educate our kids. And so I get it that fully founding the fund formula is not going to solve all our education issues in the state of Missouri. But we also can't keep kicking that down the road. You know, at some point you have to get to that point, see where we are, and then if you can cut back, fine. If you can't cut back, that's fine. But at some point you got to deal with the argument was, you know, well, our schools are failing because the foundation is not funded. Okay, so now it's funded. And I think, you know, that argument's going to go on for years to come, long after I'm gone. But I think it needs to be funded. And I think the Senate, you know, I know there's some senators that don't want that to happen, and it'll go to conference, and we'll argue it out there. But, you know, I think the House's priority of fully funding the formula is a good priority. And, you know, and part of that fully funding dealt with some of the charter school stuff, you know, was allowing the charter school expansions and some things like that. That was Representative Richardson, Speaker Richardson's amendment that said, hey, you know, we're going to do these things, and at the same time, we're going to fully fund the formula. So I don't think you can take away or recede from the House's position on that issue and expect the other stuff to go forward. So I think there's some compromise there that we've made in the House that we're hoping the Senate will agree to.
Now, this is the first week of our weekly online polls. And a few of our listeners voted in the polls. And from here on out, every week, all of our listeners should expect to see a poll on either Tuesday or Wednesday to be discussed on that week's hashtag MoLedge podcast, sponsored by Republic Services and the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. Being the first one, I will forgive all of you for not voting, because we only have 7 people vote. in our first weekly poll.
Out of 10 listeners, that's pretty good.
You know, that's not true, because I can't go to Walmart without at least 5 people telling me they listen to the
new
podcast.
Awesome.
Which is great, because I don't go to Walmart very often.
Okay.
But our weekly poll this week was obviously, will the foundation formula be fully funded? 5 of you said no, and 2 of you said yes. 3 if we count Representative Cardi. So, Ben, what do you think? You pay attention to the budget a lot more than I do. It's practically your job.
Practically
what do you think?
Whether we should fully fund?
No.
Will it be?
Will
it? Or are you one of these 7 votes?
I'm going to say that I think it will be, just because I'm pretty sure that regardless of what the Senate does, that's going to decide how it's handled from that point. Because even if the Senate does decide that we're not going to fully fund it, I've heard more than a few people say that, all right, well, we'll see you in September.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and give those people the benefit of the doubt on that one, because I think the House has made it very clear where they stand on education. I thought Representative Alferman made a really good point the other day on the floor when he said that an investment, everyone's talking about return investments, the best one that you can make is in students.
Right.
I think that's a pretty good line. I think it stands with some merit. So I think that that's a very good point to bring up. I think that that kind of showcases exactly what the House has tried to make their number one priority throughout this whole process.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they've made any concessions in terms of that.
Do any of you 3 gentlemen know what the Senate would rather fund than the foundation formula?
I don't know.
I don't know. One of my guesses would be probably higher education. That would be one of the few places where I would see they'd rather spend money than on K-12. That would be higher ed. Just because higher ed has taken a lot of cuts in the last few years. Their funding has been pretty flat over the last decade or so. So that's probably going to be an area where they would restore funding and take it from K-12. But beyond that, I have no idea.
That's pretty interesting, considering, wasn't it just today that the Senate made those confirmations to the governor's appointments?
Yep.
To multiple universities' boards of curators. So that's interesting. Now, I know Representative McCarty pretty well, and it is time for our 5 questions.
Oh, boy.
Only one of these 5 questions do I actually know the answer to, and I'm pretty excited to learn more about this senior representative. Are you ready, Representative?
I think so.
Okay.
Can we hang on a sec? So you know the answer to one of these questions.
I know the answer to one of them, or at least I know what the answer should be.
Does this mean that that's a softball question?
Are you? I don't think so.
Throwing me a softball. I might need one.
I don't think so. First question. What is your favorite Pandora station?
Classic country.
See, I knew that.
I'm
knew
just
that.
Going to go ahead and
see.
That's a good choice.
It is.
Yeah. A little Merle Haggard goes a long way.
It sure does.
But a lot can kill you, as I've learned lately. Second question. What is your favorite thing to do when you're not in this building?
Fish.
Like any fish or like?
Bass fishing.
In Missouri?
Or catfish. Missouri. Do a lot of fishing in Louisiana, where I grew up. So.
You went to LSU, right?
No.
I went to
Liberty University.
Poster,
because I grew up in Louisiana. Yes, I have an LSU poster, but I also have a Mizzou poster, so let's make sure we point that out as well.
And for our listeners to know, it is signed.
Either way, it's Tigers.
It's Tigers, so I just tell everybody I'm a Tigers.
Go Tigers.
No, I think we need to spend some more time on this fishing topic.
Yeah.
Do we?
Yes, we do.
It's so boring.
I just want to throw this out there that I have an editor who keeps me pretty busy. I have not had time to go fishing at all this year.
You know, that's workplace discrimination.
I think
so. Isn't it a little cold to be fishing?
Like, not at all.
It makes for a hostile work environment when you
can't. When you can't relax.
I will say his editor.
You should take a mental day.
His editor did write a story that's one of the top hits on our site, and it's about Asian carp. Apparently, those are terrible, and they will fly out of the river and hit you in the face.
Yes.
And people will have a lot of feelings. It's still, they, like, it'll peak on random days.
Let's take another poll here. Have you ever been hit by an Asian car? Please raise your hands. Only one.
No, Ben is raising his hand. Apparently, he's been hit in the head by a fish.
It was not the head. It just jumped out and hit me in the shoulder, and I fell out of the boat.
Raise your hand if you haven't been hit by a fish. Just so you know, the other three people here have not been hit by a fish.
Right.
I don't even know who you file a workman's complaint with that one, Link.
I'm just going to have to go straight to the top.
Straight to the top.
Yeah. I'm going to go see the governor and see if he can help me out.
I think he cut that budget.
Third question. What is your favorite fast food meal?
That's tough. Probably fried chicken.
Well, fried chicken from Popeyes, fried chicken from KFC.
See, now you're trying to get me in trouble. Probably Popeyes. Popeyes fried chicken.
Did you know they're building a Popeyes here in Jefferson City?
No, I did not.
It's where the Frank's Steaks and Pizzas used to be.
I would be excited about that.
We're pretty excited in my family for it.
Yeah.
They haven't been making very much progress lately because it's raining.
My second, first or second, and they would probably alternate, is Kate and Allie's Pizza.
Well, that's good stuff.
Absolutely amazing stuff.
They have a really good lunch special, too, for whenever we take a lunch recess.
Mm. We do those?
Lunch recesses? I think we had one a couple weeks ago.
We used to. Then it became a food desert.
Oh, yeah.
Fourth question. You're a senior, and you don't have to answer this question, but will we continue to see John McCarty in the state legislature after 2018?
I am keeping all of my options open.
Open options? Well, you can only use that answer once, because the fifth question is pretty standard. Who is your favorite legislator? My goodness.
My favorite legislator?
No pressure. Just the people you work with.
Huh.
And we don't let anyone say themselves.
No, I wouldn't say myself. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, that would be kind of vain to say yourself.
Last week, Offerman said it was Searpoy because Searpoy took a chance on him. Now, Robert Ross refused to answer it, I hear.
This is true, and I can also bring up the fact that we've got the Missouri Times Magazine coming out, where in there we reveal that a lot of them would go ahead and say that John Carpenter is their favorite Democrat.
I've heard that. I've heard the magazine is out. And everyone should go read it.
Is it out?
It is.
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, you obviously haven't been on our social media, and you should also go like Missouri Times on Facebook and Twitter.
Of course I like them on Facebook and Twitter.
It's there, I promise.
Okay.
Do I have to answer that question?
You don't have to answer it.
I really don't know. I don't really have a favorite. I mean, there's several that I work with, and I think they're all really, really good. To say,
would you be willing to answer who your least favorite representative is?
No.
That's a trap. No. I think you should have gone.
I can narrow that list down a lot quicker.
See, that's what I'm thinking.
Maybe you should just adjust
it to like a top three or top five, because let's face it, most people can probably do that one.
We have time for top five. We do.
Depends if you're willing to hold feet to the fire here.
I won't do that. Because he's a retired pastor, and you can't do that to a pastor. My mom will be listening to this, and she'll be so mad.
You get an angry phone call immediately after.
I probably won't answer. But speaking, you know, that's something I'd like to talk about, is angry phone calls, because Ben has been here since the fall. And today is the first day he's gotten some angry phone calls, and I happen to not care, as his editor, what they're about. It's not really a topic we cover on a regular basis, so not a big deal. However, Representative, I bet you've gotten a lot of angry phone calls throughout your 7 years.
I have.
What do you think your constituents have been the most angry about regarding state politics over the last 7 years?
Right to work.
Now, you vote in opposition to right to work.
Right.
And you've never changed that vote, even though you have some colleagues who have changed their votes.
Right.
And some colleagues whose positions who have changed. And you're from High Hill, right?
Yeah.
And you have a very...
Northern Jefferson County.
It's a red district with heavy union.
It's
a 50-50?
50-50 at best.
50-50.
Yeah, at best. When I first took office, I think it was about 44% Democrat, or 44% Republican. And I took the seat from Sam Como. And, it was one of the issues that my district just really believed strongly about. It's probably the most called upon issue in my office, that and gun rights. It's a working class community. Most of them are laborers or carpenters or painters or something like that. We had the Chrysler plant was there, so we had a lot of folks left over from the Chrysler plant. And so most of these folks, even if they're not in a union now, they kind of grew up in union homes, so they get it, you know. And it's really the only issue that I would say my district has asked me to vote against the party. It's pretty much the only issue that... I'm from Louisiana. It's a right-to-work state, so I get right-to-work. I understand it. I know it works. I'm not going to sit here and say it doesn't work. It works. There's a lot of states that are making it work. There's going to be a learning curve. There's going to be some issues in my district because of the right-to-work thing. And, I've talked with some union reps and tried to express to them the need for them to get into some of these right-to-work states and find out how they are doing business. Because in some of these states, the unions are actually growing. And while Missouri has been a union state for so long, the unions aren't growing. They're actually shrinking. So there's a way to turn this around to the good for them, and I encourage them to do that. And honestly, a lot of the angry phone calls that I received from my district were from union folks. Just because I was a Republican, they just assumed that I was voting for right to work. And, so a lot of the angry phone calls and messages and stuff like I got was how horrible of a person I was, and I was going to take away their income. And,
I'm assuming those calls kind of ended differently than they started.
They do, if they give you the opportunity to actually explain who you are. But over the years, and I never changed my vote on it. There's been times that I've thought about it. I can't say that there wasn't. But it's one issue of a whole multitude of issues that we deal with every single day. And the district has trusted me to make decisions, and they've trusted me. They don't pick on every single decision I make. That's their big issue. And I've received, calls on the other side of the issue too. Not near as many. There's a few that really wanted it, but the vast, vast majority was to keep it a union state.
Now we're almost out of time, and it's a perfect opportunity for me to again plug that you've got to go read the magazine, because there is a 2-page spread in the magazine that talks about where unions are going to go next in this time of right to work. There are several unions who expected right to work to come along whenever Eric Greitens burst onto the scene with his support of right to work. And I know for a fact there's one union, UFCW Local 655 out of St. Louis, that has an app, and they're doing an amazing grassroots outreach program. It'll be really interesting to see where unions go next in Missouri. So you should pick up the magazine, and you should also remember to help us thank our sponsors, Republic Services and St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. Thank you so much for listening to another hashtag MoLedge podcast. This has been Rachel and Ben, our co-host Philip Arnzen, and our special guest, who's also a birthday boy, Representative John McCarty.